Again, may we all hear in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as Laura said earlier, my name is Greg Moore, and while you probably don't know who I am very familiar with you and this place because my family has been blessed by Soapstone for now 8 years. I've had two children come through your preschool, and we are working on giving you good business because we have a third now, who I think we have a picture of him. I don't know if it's if it'll pop up. There he is. So watch out for that kid. He's coming before you know it. He'll be here. This is James Patrick. He is my four-month-old son who was an unexpected souvenir that my wife and I brought back from our 15th anniversary trip to Ireland, hence James Patrick. A little stowed away with us on the way back. We unpacked him 9 months later, and here he is. Now, I know it seems wildly manipulative for me just to show you a picture of a baby as I'm starting to preach to you. I mean, why not just bring out boxes of kittens and puppies and hand those out? And you would be right to not trust me at this moment, because why in the world would somebody from the conference disarm you with a picture of a baby? Is this where I tell you that we're raising your apportionments? Don't worry about that. Just look at the baby. Don't worry about what we're billing you. Just keep looking at the baby. The truth is, no, we're not raising your apportionments. Yet, we and I'm not just showing you a picture of James in order to pander to you. I'm introducing you to James in order to ponder with you this morning, to think more deeply about the audacious claim that Jesus makes in our gospel reading today. This morning, Jesus tells us that this kid knows more about God than we do. Now, maybe that doesn't strike you as offensive, but listen, I sort of make my living being the resident expert on all things God. I went to school to get a degree that says I have a mastery over the divine. I planted a church in the suburban wilds of Briar Creek. I'm now incompetent enough to work at the conference, and I travel around and meet with churches like Soapstone, who ask me questions like, how might we be more fruitful in our ministry? How might we experience deeper communion with God and with each other and with the world? That's kind of what I do. I'm the expert. And then Jesus makes me stand up here in front of you this morning and tell you the truth. The truth is, I know less about who God is than James. The truth is that I have all but learned my way out of the kingdom of God. I'm the director of New Faith Communities, which means that I spend a lot of my time going to church development conferences, apparently to pay for some sins of a past life that I've forgotten about. I spend a lot of time in conference rooms with church experts who always have the same dog and pony show. Here's how it goes. Let me just kind of save you from a trip to Orlando. I'll bring the conference here to you. Here's how it works. First of all, somebody stands up, an expert, stands up in front of everybody, and they do the same presentation. It looks different. They've got different words, but it's always the same thing. And here's the gist. The church is dying. That's the presentation. Population growth is becoming more dense, right? Can we leave James up there? Can we still see James? See, there he is. I need him to encourage me from behind. So, as the population growths are becoming more dense and faith communities are atrophying, they always tell us that especially younger generations are leaving the church in droves. The nuns and the duns are growing, and it's bad news. Membership and money is down. Anybody heard this presentation? Yep, it's everywhere. And then, after the presentation is done, where they basically told us that the guy at the football game is right, the end is near, we're almost done, they bring on the experts. And the experts are the ones who are going to tell us how to save this poor, dying, dismal faith that you and I are barely holding on to. And someone walks on stage at first and tells us that our biggest problem is that we're not awesome enough. That's your problem. Your church isn't thriving because you're just not awesome. You need more awesome music, and you need more awesome children's ministries, and more awesome youth, and your refreshments, they're not awesome. They're not awesome. And so you just need more awesome refreshments, and that's really what you're missing. And we all applaud, and they leave the stage, and the next person comes on and says, hey, you want new people? Here's what you do. Go worship in a bar. That'll blow their mind. And it blows our mind, and then we applaud, and they walk off, and the next person comes on and says, stop taking up an offering. People are wary of churches grubbing after money. Do a reverse offering. Give them money and tell them to do something good with it. And we all sort of applaud, and they walk off the stage. And here's what happens after hanging out with these experts in theology and church life. I come home wondering, why am I not more awesome? Maybe I should just go hang out at a bar and hand out 20s in the name of Jesus. And then I get home, and this guy's waiting on me. And sometimes he's smiling, and sometimes he's crying. But while I'm detoxing from being with the church and theological experts, somewhere deep in that night, as I change his diaper and rock him to sleep, Jesus shows up and he says, now listen. You want to know who I am? This is your expert. Earlier in this gospel reading for today, before Jesus starts talking about babies, he seems to be seeking to save us from the hell of having to commodify faith. He says, John the Baptist came and he offered them faith, you know, the pure stuff. Don't drink, don't chew, don't run with people who do. But think about your Southern Baptist grandmother. That was John the Baptist. And they looked at John and they rejected that. And they said, he's a prude. And Jesus says, so I show up like a good Methodist and I'll go party with them and I'll show up and drink with them. And they call me a drunkard and a glutton, Jesus says. And so then he says this. Stop trying to package the faith as though it's a product to be consumed. Stop trying to commodify this communion that I am gifting you with. You want to know what I'm like? You're going to have to learn how to learn from babies. So, here is what I've been learning from my newest professor of theology. In the middle of the night, when my breath is less than awesome and my appearance is far from perfect, he welcomes my imperfect presence and allows that to comfort him. He's not waiting for me to be a perfect package of a dad in order to receive my love. In the afternoon when I get home from work and I'm still carrying the anxieties of the day and my to-do list is far from done, he ignores my anxiety and receives my embrace. In the early mornings when I'm giving him a bottle that I've not really fully heated up all the way because I'm checking email, and I'm giving him a lukewarm bottle and mindlessly thumbing through my phone. He receives that as though it is the best feast of his life. Here's what I'm learning from my professor of theology. That in the end, all he's looking for is to be loved. Maybe that's all any of us are looking for. Is to be loved and to be shown that we belong even before we fully know what that means. Maybe that's what everybody who's not in church is actually looking for. They're not waiting for you to have the right music or praise band or coffee in the narthex. They're not waiting for you to put together the right product to sell them, to commodify this communion. That yoke is heavy and unbearable. Maybe all they're looking for is for someone to show up in whatever night they find themselves in. To lay aside their anxieties in order to be present with them in this moment, whatever moment they're in. And to break bread with them like they're part of the family, whether they believe or not. Maybe they're just looking for presence and love. And belonging, like family. Let me ask you, Soapstone, who does that sound like? The closest I've come to hearing any experts actually admit to this out loud, because this is bad for business, y'all. Telling you that you don't need to buy our product, but you just need to actually go and embody love where you are. Wait, you might not need us experts. We get really anxious about that. But the closest I've got heard to experts admitting to this are the good people from Alpha. Anybody know Alpha Ministries? Anybody heard of Alpha Ministries? Nobody? One person. Great, one person. Let me tell you about Alpha Ministries really quickly. Alpha Ministry started in England. The Church of England was seeing atrophy that we are yet to experience. Nobody goes to church there anymore, and so they were wondering, what do we do about that? And so this really simplistic model of ministry started taking flesh in the Church of England. Here's what they did. They had supper together. Small groups of people would get together and eat. And everyone was welcome to the table. This was not in church. This was happening all over the place, in people's homes, in pubs, in bars, sometimes in church basements. But the point was not to be in worship. The point was to be together to eat and to ask deeper questions about life and faith together. Everyone was welcome. Whether you believed or whether you didn't, whether you struggled with faith, whether it was easy for you. And so agnostics and atheists and doubting Christians and questioning Christians were getting together, and they were eating together and making space for each other to have their questions asked and pondered collectively as though they mattered. Now, Alpha has been wildly successful in getting record numbers of people to come and be a part of this sort of movement. Countless folks have come through the Alpha course and have practiced this together. Here's the thing, after 20 years, Alpha says that they have failed to produce more members and money for the church. Which is why congregational developers like me, when we hear Alpha, we kind of roll our eyes and say, yeah, we tried that, but it didn't work. But did it? Here's what happens at the end of Alpha. You, for a long period of time, experience rich community and wrestling together with larger questions of life and faith and doubt in real, genuine ways in relationships. And when you finish that course, here's what we do. We say, great, you've graduated. Now you can come into the real church where we expect you to show up on Sunday morning, give your money, and if you keep your nose clean, we'll let you serve on a committee. And that yoke which was light and easy and the communion that was genuine now seems heavy and unbearable, and so they leave. Because the truth is, all they were looking for was a place to be loved and to genuinely wrestle with the deeper things of faith and a community in which to share communion in. Maybe that's all any of us are looking for. I highly doubt any of us are here because we were dying to be on a committee. That's why I showed up to church. I'm looking for a committee in my life. That's what I need. We're here because at some dark night of our life, somebody showed up and shared with us stories of love and grace. Somebody allowed space for us to wrestle with our doubts and our fears. Somebody broke bread with us like we were family members even before we knew if we were. Somebody loved you here. And so the invitation this morning, because Jesus makes me preach on this text, is for God's sake, Soapstone, forget trying to commodify the faith. Not saying that you're trying to do that, but we in the church are trying to do this. Reject that whenever it comes your way. Don't try to be more awesome. Don't put a Starbucks in the narthex. Don't reimagine this place with fog machines. Reimagine your kitchen table instead. Make your kitchen table look like that table. Share communion with your neighbors and your coworkers, the people who are dying for a place to wrestle with questions of depth and worth, who are looking for friendships of sacred presence, who right now are in the middle of some dark night and are wondering if anyone hears their cries. Make every table you sit at a communion table. Because apparently, the only thing God is into, this is maddeningly simplistic, but the only thing God is into is loving the other, no matter what. You can't make that a program, you can't make that a package, but you can make that take flesh in you. And my prayer is that as you're now revisioning about what the next years will look like for Soapstone, that that will become incarnate in you. And wherever you go, communion will break out. Because here's the good news. You don't have to be perfect in order to love. At least, that's what my teacher is teaching me.